Pacific Beer Chat records on the traditional unceded territory of the Coast Salish First Nations, including the Tsleil-Waututh, the Keetse, the Kwantlen, the Kwikwetlem, the Matsqui, the Musqueam, the Kakite, the Semiahu, the Squamish, the Tsawwassen, the Tsleil-Waututh, and the Stalo First Nations.
Welcome to Pacific Beer Chat. I'm Mike.
I'm Jordan.
I'm Warren.
I'm Carnell, back for two episodes in a row.
Yeah, so we're raiding the cellar again.
Woo-hoo! All right, so first one up is, it's a classic. This is a beer that actually was birthed before the brewery existed. Like, you could argue that this beer birthed a brewery.
Really?
I would assume, yeah. It's a great beer.
This is Moody Ales from
2019.
The original owner is Dan and shit.
Dan Helmer
and the other guy.
Adam.
Not Adam Chatburn.
No.
But anyways, this was like their baby, basically, that won a BC Beer Award for homebrew basically birthed the brewery.
Really?
Dan and...
Adam.
They I don't believe they own that brewery anymore.
No, they've sold it, yes.
They've sold it. They're still involved in Brewers Row.
They've got bakery. They still own bakery.
But anyways, this beer was bought when they still owned it, so there's that. I don't know.
Yeah. Really?
I'm making tangential links now for the sake of transitions.
Side note, I went to high school
smells
with the
boozy,
Helmers.
Smells malty. Nice.
Ooh. Yeah, it's got a really nice aroma. It's got lots of malt and...
Woo! Sorry, do you
wow!
Lots of malt, chocolate, sweetness on the nose.
It's a little warmer than it probably should be.
No one cares about that except one.
No. It's chocolatey. It's earthy. It's roasty.
I'm getting the dried.
There's
fruit.
Some bitterness. Dried fruit. Yeah.
Some of that earthy, yeasty thing.
And there's a little bit of warmth in there, but it's not that much.
I find it well rounded personally. I'm getting all those flavors. I don't find it boozy or anything like that.
I'm with you. I think it's interesting. We were talking about this before. We're like, ooh, when do we mention this? That's not true. I said, here's the script. we didn't know when we opened this. We're actually tasting this for the first time. But this beer in particular, which I think is the 2019 vintage, there had been some trouble with it. I think some of the bottles were recalled. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing.
Well, the whole batch was recalled.
Yeah.
Just in case.
And Moody Ales promised to, I think it was refund or replace the bottle, which is, again, not a bad thing, a good thing, because breweries, it will happen. Any brewery will put out a beer that shouldn't be out at some point.
Yeah, and so, I mean, it could taste great at the start, and then something could start going wrong, and...
Yeah, bottles could be blowing up, or flavors just, could be going in the wrong direction.
And so they did the right thing, so that's a good thing. I decided to keep this bottle, partly because I kept forgetting, and number two, I was like... You know,
science experiment.
Exactly. And so here we are years later, because I think this was a 2019.
Yep.
It would have been December 2019.
Probably. Yeah.
Yeah. Or January.
Between December and January. Yeah.
I guess it's only a month difference. So it's like 2 years old, I think. But this bottle. I don't care.
Yeah.
Is it?
Fuck the math, boys.
This is the second episode.
Yes, it is.
In any case, it tastes good is our assessment.
Yeah, no, I really enjoy this.
It's the majority of the
I don't think Warren is as interested in it, but...
It's not a Saison. Leave him alone. I'm just reading the bottle here, and it's funny because you're talking about this came out of a homebrew. So it literally says, Moody Ales, a craft brewery in Port Moody, British Columbia. We're doing the same thing as when we were homebrewing.
To lift off the earlier episode, all we do on this podcast now is read labels.
That's right. Well, we're just reading what's put in front of us. Come on now, it's like it's a novel.
As a homebrewer, I was part of am part of several homebrew clubs. And Dan and Adam, before they opened Moody Ales, they reached out to some of the homebrew clubs, and they actually came out to a meet that we were having with the Fraser Valley Fermentalists group.
Mm.
They came to one of our meetings and brought some homebrew with them, and they wanted our honest opinion on their homebrew, because that's when they were thinking about opening a brewery.
That was a lot of... I can't remember. I think it might have been Mike's blog I read about it.
They had
were you invited to one of those? Well, I think when they
God, I can't actually remember.
Had the building and they were started doing recipe development.
It might have been, yeah, it's been so long. I was there quite so a few many times before ago. They opened up.
Yeah.
But yeah, Mike's Craft Beer is a memory now.
It's a relic. it's
an antique.
It's probably the last year that it'll actually have a website hosted under the .com and not .wordpress.com.
Yeah. Mike, you are what, the camera bronze medalist or the silver medalist for beer blog of the
what was that? Yeah, it was like the last year that Camera Vancouver gave out awards for like media or whatever it was. Yeah, I think I tied with Rebecca Wyman. I forget what were her
beer birds.
No, she had a different what the heck was her website called? I don't remember what it was called.
Neither do I.
But yeah, it was. I know Rebecca. We got to share the stage, which was really cool. She had her my blood type as IPA or whatever. I still remember that.
I wish that was super my cool. blood type.
That was the back in the day.
Back in the day when we all did beer blogs.
Yeah, exactly.
my website's literally like, you need to renew now. I'm like, all right, I haven't done it in a fucking year and a half. What are you supposed to do? Like, here I am in my tub drinking a beer. Now I'm cooking in my kitchen with a beer.
Sour beer.
Yeah.
Anyways, so...
rein it in.
Yeah. So, yeah, this is like... and... So I worked at Moody Ales in the early days, briefly. And, this was always the beer, like, when it opened. It was the big thing that was coming down the pipeline. And, as I say, like, I think it's the beer that birthed the brewery. We're on, like, 5 years on, 6 years on now. It's kind of cool to give it a try. I completely agree with what you were saying, that it's, like, a all-rounder. It really coats the mouth.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, at 11%, too, you're not noticing it.
Well, and Steve has been, Steve hasn't been around the show much either lately because of COVID. But he has something like 6 years of this beer in his cellar right now.
We got a vertical.
So we have a vertical in the works for this beer as well. Ooh. So this will show up at some point.
Nice.
I've got 3 years of the Ghost Strain from Fulmer's in my cellar.
Maybe
too.
We just have another day where we wreck someone like we did with Cam when he first came on the show.
Oh, boy.
But yeah, no, this is, I mean, if this is infected, then... I mean, I don't really taste anything wrong with it.
It's infecting me good, bro.
Well, we were chatting, like, and for those who don't know, like, infection in beer can happen basically when you get off flavors. Beer's a living thing. It's kind of like your body. Like, you can get viruses and the wrong bacteria in there, and it can mess it up.
The wrong yeast.
Yep. It's funny, like, in some beer styles, you can get, it might be considered the wrong bacteria or whatever, and then in other beer styles, it'll be the right bacteria.
Well, it's sort of like wine. Like, I hate wine, but Brett and wine is a horrible off flavor, and Brett and beer can be exactly what you're aiming for, right?
Well, there's a joke in some circles in Vancouver beer that, like, hey, it's another barrel aged stout with Brett. Let's pretend that wasn't a mistake,
right? And I would agree because I've been homebrewing since 1998, and for the first 20 years of my homebrewing hobby, I was trying to avoid things like lactobacillus and brettanomyces. Yeah. So to sit down to a sour beer, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, there's something wrong with this. Yeah. This is a bad beer. This went wrong.
And like, let's not lie there. And I don't think anybody's doing anything wrong. I'll just say if it's on the label. Like if people are advertising this stuff. But it does happen.
If you do lactobacillus on purpose... that's a sour beer.
Well,
you're gonna go
a step further, Warren. But I would say, as long as the brewer or the brewery, I should say, says like, "Hey, this is a lacto stout," or this is which would be terrible, or a Brett stout. I don't think it matters as long as they're being upfront with what it is. But it does happen accidentally all the time, where people are making a stout. And Brett gets in there, and then they're like, change the label really quick to say Brett.
Right.
That happens all the time. And if you've ever picked up a Brett stout and been like, ooh, that seems interesting, and then you're like, this doesn't seem like it works together, that might be why.
The easiest thing to do is if you pick up lacto or Brett or both, you just slap wild on the label.
Yeah. But don't forget, though, that like Storm Brewing is celebrated in a lot of circles for their sour imperial founder.
The Flanders.
Imperial Sour Flanders Red Ale.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which was an accident, yeah. But Ian Hill had just come back from Belgium.
Yes.
And James is like can you taste this? Like, what the hell's going on here? He's like,
oh,
this is what they're doing in Belgium. Like, yeah. This is great. This is your mistake sometimes turn out to be a great thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's, I think in some ways, even though it's not something you buy all the time, I think that's almost Maidstorm Brewing is that silly beer.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I don't disagree. I think, who was it? It was Daggerad. Their second batch of, was it Blonde? Came out wrong. And what did they renamed that beer.
And I'm not sure.
I can't. This was when they first opened. Like it was like the third batch. They made a blonde, and then I think it was their second batch of blonde. I mean, obviously Ben
wasn't right.
They just called it a different beer because they liked it so much. And like I had a home brewing experience the same thing. Like,
sure.
I wanted to make a pale ale, and it got infected. I had the skin on top of the beer, and I remember smelling it and saying, "Oh, this is when I was first getting to sour beers. This would have been like 7, 8. It might even be 10 years ago." And I remember, like, on the homebrew forums, which is what we used to do back then.
Is there supposed to be this skim?
And well, I remember saying, it's clearly infected, but it smells so good. And I remember people told me, like, put it somewhere and don't touch it for a year.
Yeah, leave it alone, yeah.
And I left it for a year, and I was, like, at that time I was homebrewing a lot, and I was out a batch. It was a year later, and I chucked it in the keg, and I loved that beer.
Really?
I loved it so much. And it was clearly, like... what's the P one? The P common infection? Bacillus?
Pediococcus?
Yeah, I think it was that. And like, I'm not going to lie, it gave me the runs. But it was delicious beer.
You know what? I've heard similar stories, not just from homebrewers, but from commercial brewers.
Yeah.
I mean, I was over at Longwood Brewery a couple of years ago.
How many stories you guys
get
about beer
shit? They had a tank that they literally had forgotten about. I got a lot of stories about beer shit. They had a beer that turned on them and went bad on them. They didn't know what to do with it.
So they just left it.
So they rolled it into a corner, basically, and just left it and forgot about it. So when I was over there, it had been sitting in the corner for a year or two, collecting dust. Nobody had paid attention to it. And a few weeks before I had arrived, one of the brewers had checked it out, and they were like, whoa, this is awesome. And all of a sudden, it's turned great. And they ended up releasing it. I think they blended it or something like that. But they ended up releasing it. But I remember having a little taste of it out of the tank. And it was magical. This beer went bad on them. They turned their backs on it and forgot about it and left it alone for a year or two. And it fixed itself.
That's awesome.
Well, it's a living thing.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, I mean, it's a bit of a joke to compare beer to like a human being. But it's... in some very like vague, minuscule way, it's kind of like a lifetime, right? Like, you know, you grow up with someone in like elementary school or high school or whatever, and like they're this person, and then they like fall off the map and they go through some shit, and then they figure it out. And I mean, there's also, by the same token, there's a lot of beers that, you know, just fall off and never come back.
That's it. Yeah.
But it's a living thing. Like, it can go a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And just because it looks like it's gone off a cliff and it's never coming back doesn't mean it actually is.
Yeah.
So you guys saying the keg I've had in my backyard for 3 years may be tasty?
It could be really good.
Probably not, though.
What I'm saying, it's a limoncello sour. You guys all get diarrhea.
What I'm saying is you've got a chance to turn it around, man.
All right. Next beer.
Yeah. What we hit next?
We back. So this one's gushing a little bit out of the can.
Well, let's start it right.
It's been known to do that.
Is that right? Let's start it right, Warren.
No, it's high.
Hey, it's Jordan here. About to pour a beer.
What are we looking at here?
It's me, the heavyweight champ, Imperial Stout.
Twin Sails Brewing and Boombox.
Twin Sails Boombox collab.
Yes. Coming at 13.8%.
Wow.
It's the heavyweight champion, is it?
Yeah.
It's black. Holy moly, look at that. This is ridiculous.
Oof. That fucking 13. Nose. 13.8,
isn't that where the tax changes? Isn't that where you
11.9.
I hope not.
These were really expensive cans, they were.
Yeah. I bet. Yeah. I bet you. Wow. And
I bought a lot of them.
The normal tax rate on beer is 56% or something, or 53% or something stupid like that, so... I can just imagine what the tax on this one was.
I spent a lot of money on this beer.
So it's a bourbon-aged imperial stout. Yes. Aged for 10 months in bourbon barrels, been carefully blended to produce a thick, luscious body with aromas of black licorice, dark chocolate, and coffee.
And it's 13+% alcohol.
It's roasty, it's umami, it's soy sauce.
It's not super sweet on the nose, actually. I thought it was.
No, I'm getting more of that umami soy sauce thing in the aroma.
I'm getting the same thing.
Really
but
strong.
Fuck, it smells good. This almost reminds me of the Dag Red beers we had on that one episode. The it was
something loves something. Yeah.
Dag Red loves
Steel and Oak.
Dag Red. Yeah, that was a good. We know
that is a big beer.
It's definitely a big beer.
Wow!
Don't call it heavyweight for nothing, eh?
It's sweet. It's
oh, that is so good. I still remember this beer.
It's going everywhere all at once. Woo!
Yeah, it's got lots of that oak going on.
Woo! It's very sweet though.
I love it. It's like
perfectly
treacle,
sweet.
It's brown sugar. It's all that. It's chocolate. Syrupy.
It's weird how
there's roasty. There's earthy.
Well, it's weird how it loses that umami flavor in
too sweet for me.
Oh, hey guys.
So what do you think about this beer, Carnell?
Too sweet for me.
I did a very good thing. Actually, I shouldn't say I. That's present I. Past Carnell did a very good thing, and he bought, I think 4 or 5, maybe even 6 or some of these.
Yeah.
He cracked one at the start, and he was like, damn, this is good shit. And so he made sure we had a few. So I think I've got at least one more. Mike and I were going through the old good cellar, because I got a bad cellar and a good cellar.
Yeah.
And we cracked one of these. I love cracking these with people who enjoy them, so I'm glad you guys are all here. And I wish that you guys listening could try it, but I don't wish so much that I would share these with you.
Yeah. I definitely saw that in the cellar, and I'm like, my eyes open like twice as wide as they usually do. It's like, oh yeah, let's hope we can do this. Oh,
yeah.
Because this is a beer that I super, super loved.
It's huge.
Well, it's definitely huge. It's 13+%, right? It's big.
No, but not just
it's almost 14%.
ABV. Yeah.
Like flavor wise too, it's just punching you in the face. There's nothing subtle about this.
It's not supposed to be.
No. And it's so like Twin Sails comes out like 5-6 years ago now as like the lager brewery.
Well, it's funny. Yeah, the first 2 years maybe of their existence, they were doing that niche thing where they were doing all
German
the European
stuff.
Light styles.
And then they're like,
and I loved them for that.
I hated them for that.
and being there, I can say, it wasn't unintentional, but it wasn't necessarily fully intentional either. They were able to pivot basically on the backs of their brewers and their...
Well, yeah, once they felt comfortable
into,
and they were in
like
place
new
doing their
school
thing, then
American
they
IPAs.
Then they let the brewers go loose,
and
they and were like,
just
what
worked.
Do you want to make? Right?
It worked. It
and
worked.
They've gone buck wild since. Yeah. They're doing tons
of great
what shit.
I think they've done, and I think they led that charge for a little while, and I think that they've arguably since been surpassed by Superflux.
Boombox, even though they're a contract
same neighborhood,
brewer.
The same, they're the
I
same
don't know that I would say,
thing.
I mean, we're getting into semantics now. I think Boombox, and I think there's a few, I think Superflux, you could clearly argue, are ahead of the game.
Yeah.
But I think after that, they're in that next sort of, you want to use an Olympic term, the peloton, that the guys riding behind just a little bit. Not that they're not doing anything well or they
bike
couldn't
term.
Medal or something like that, if we're using Olympic terms. But, they're just a little behind.
Still silver, still bronze, maybe not gold.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And nothing wrong with that at all.
Still a great brewery, yeah.
But where they're freaking murdering it, where they're, where they're arguably in the same spot as a lot of long-standing American breweries, and this isn't something that happens overnight or just happens one-off. It happens a lot of work, is their barrel aged and imperial stouts.
Yeah. Oh my
and
god.
100%.
That's where they completely 100% lead the charge in this province.
They're
and
killing
probably
it.
This part of the country. And I can't
maybe the country period.
Maybe the country period. Maybe the country period.
But you're not a fan of this style, Warren. That's the problem.
Crack some Bell Woods in a minute if you want.
I'm saying for barrel age, there's some other people in the game that are doing some interesting things too. Strange Fellows or...
Oh, no, but again, Boris is a great beer, but it doesn't... For this for a huge imperial stout, it doesn't even touch this.
But
for
the consistency that they do it at, like they dropped on their anniversary, how many Carnell? Like four?
I don't even know. I don't even know. Like
barrel aged?
I think it was four or six. Yeah,
Huge and they were all in. Like you had one coconut, you had something else. Oh. They're fucking amazing. Yeah, all of them.
Barrels
they're,
of each, right? They're very good. Very limited, right?
Yeah. And there's one
and
in
they
there.
Do it well.
Mike picked up, and I said to Mike, I was like, "Oof." It's called Catching Midnight. It was like a one-off barrel, like literally a
one barrel.
Yeah,
one barrel. So they I know this story from talking to some of the people there. I was gonna say guys, but it's people there because I know for a fact that some of their most important people are women there.
Yeah,
or not male. In any case,
well, we don't know how they identify.
Humans.
So let's just say people.
Yeah. They're humans.
People. But it's worth being specific. In any case, I know that it was one barrel, so it was like 150 cans. And they felt this was the, and so
did you get one?
So what I always do now on their anniversary is I buy two of each.
Yeah,
I because I used one to live, now, I used later. To live down the road.
Yeah,
I would wait for the chatter, and the chatter came back hugely positive on. I think it's Catching Moonlight.
Yeah, that's right.
This is like no adjunct. This is just like straight barrel imperial stout. And so luckily I had two, and I hadn't actually cracked in because I always hold on. And so I have one more can of that, but like, I'm not. I love you guys. maybe when my child is born, I'll crack into that guy.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
That's so you're bringing it to the hospital then?
I'm having a baby. You can't tell me what to do.
Hey, bro. Honestly, when they're going to bed and everything's solid, I had a good buddy. His name's Cam on Tap. Yeah. He came by and dropped me off. Six pack of Gatorade, four studio beers, and gave me a sip of his nice ass whiskey that he had from his honeymoon in 2010.
Nice.
Damn.
Last sip too. He was like, I was saving a butt. You just had a kid. Drank it in the parking lot. You need friends like that.
Yeah, no doubt.
He sounds like a good guy.
Yeah, he's going to edit that out. Just edit that out.
I was like, is this the same Cam?
It's been a while.
His last name's On Tap. Doesn't sound right.
I'm just giving social media hype.
Yeah.
Brewer Inlet.
Long story short, I think Twin Sails. And I mean, you can make some arguments, I'm sure. Boris is great beer, too.
I love Boris, yeah.
But I think the barrel-aged stuff from Twin Sails is...
Twin Sails has definitely done some really interesting things.
No, they're
since
stepping
their inception.
They're
put
stepping
out some
the
really
up,
great
bro.
Beers. Yep. They've done some really good stuff.
They've stepped it up so hardcore in the past, 3 years, like Carnell's saying. Their barrel-aged program
is insane.
They were
dominating hazies for a bit.
Well, the hazies
for a while,
are cool.
They were killing it with the European lagered styles.
The two straws, Milkshake IPA series is still ongoing, and they change it all the time.
Minor tweaks.
It's just a different fruit every fucking time.
It's the same.
It's the two straws, different fucking fruit, but it always are really tasty. Like my mom gets pissed off at me if I don't give her a fucking can.
It's I'm not going to say they don't miss because they do miss. Like
everyone misses.
Yeah.
It's about making your misses as rare and few and far between as possible.
Right.
And they miss.
Yeah.
But,
and making your misses better than some people's hopefuls.
Yeah. but I always love the brewery. Like I love the brewery that will push it and go for it. And you have to hit. If you just push it and go for it, you miss all the time. I'm not going to show up.
Yeah. But if you push it all the time and once in a while it's a miss, I'm still going to be there because you're taking chances. If you're not taking any chances, a lot of beer nerds are just going to be like, meh.
Yeah.
But their stout program right now, like this moment, like this minute, like when their next set of stouts come, which I assume will be like November, which is usually their
anniversary party.
I'm hoping to be able to buy tickets. I'm hoping to show up. I'm hoping like... It's honestly like continental. I don't know. Like I've been to some pretty cool stuff in beer. I've got a chance. Not everything, not all the things, but like I've been to some cool spots. And like I gotta think, like the Twin Sails anniversary party is. It's not great. Don't buy tickets. I want tickets.
Yeah. I've had multiple years of Surly Darkness, which for a long time was a huge get.
Yeah,
I've had some crazy beers, and this stuff is really good.
Yeah, I'm thinking my comparison right now is Bottle Logic. If there's, I don't know if how big the beer geek we get, but if anyone knows Bottle Logic, it's actually my favorite brewery outside of Canada. It might be actually my favorite brewery of all time. They just murder. They're a little bit like Twin Sales, but on a way bigger scale down in California.
Well, I mean, if you're willing to spend $30+ a bottle, they have it at Central City on Bridgeview.
Sorry, what?
Yes.
Oh. They have Bottle Logic?
Yes.
What?
You heard it here first.
Like one or two bottles, but yes.
What?
Pretty sure.
That's cheaper than the States. It's $30 there. Americans. American dollars.
Thank you to our sponsor, Ross Vanderhoek, with Royal LePage Wollstonecraft Real Estate. Check out www.rossvanderhoek.com for all your residential, commercial, new development, and investment property needs.
All right, so guys, this next beer is not far off.
It has a similar
from where label. We were the last time. We started with a heavyweight champ, and now we're on the Canadian heavyweight champ.
The better one.
Which happens to also be the heavyweight champ because it's from Canada. But we're still with Twin Sails, and it's still a high fill, which I kind of love. It kind of makes me think that they thought, hey, maybe people will they'll sell her these guys, and we should high fill them. Because, again, one of the things that kills beer...
Oxygen,
yeah.
Oxygen. So if you high fill a can...
Less oxygen,
less way to kill a beer.
The only other way to deal with that is to can condition, like Sierra Nevada, where you introduce a little bit of yeast and wort when you're canning, and that also eliminates all the oxygen.
Yeah.
But as a vessel, like when we talk about aluminum versus like glass is something that keeps its shape... Obviously, when you put a little bit of yeast in there, the issue you might run into is fermentation, which is going to mean gas expanding.
Yeah. Well, that's where the conditioning is coming from, and you're getting the CO2 that way, right?
Yeah. So, which eats up all the oxygen.
Yeah, as long as you calculate it correctly, then it should work out fine. You should get just the right carbonation and zero oxygen.
Are these brewers any good at math is what I want to
know. Sierra Nevada's got to be good at it. They've been doing it for years.
Chico, California, right?
They're huge.
I don't know why I said that. I don't know what that adds.
Chico yeast.
But yeah, this beer, again, is black as midnight. Nice big brown head.
Yeah.
The aroma, again, is sweet.
Soy sauce, umami.
Yeah, umami.
I don't get the soy sauce, but I believe
you. You don't get that soy sauce thing?
No. It's sweet, though. It's roasty.
That's what it reminds me of.
But yeah, let's get into the flavor here.
Flavor Town.
Calm down.
Oh my God, no!
I'm just gonna button up my flame T-shirt over here and push up my frosted tips. Flavor Town.
If Warren didn't like the heavyweight, he's not gonna like this one because this one is amazing in that it is.
This one's a little more chocolate,
milk chocolate.
Yeah, this one's a little more chocolatey for sure.
Brown sugar is
super sweet.
Maple syrup.
Super sweet.
I think there is some maple syrup, and then like.
What is
it? It's like I always say, like there's two types of beer, right? Like
this would go great on pancakes or waffles.
It's like, have you guys ever heard of like type A or type B fun?
Yep.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say diabetes.
Right?
I hope you don't have it because that's type one or
you're
two.
You're right on point there.
I'm gonna get it after this sweet ass beer.
Yeah,
we all might. Long story short, like type one is like, and I might have this backwards.
This might be sweeter
I probably
than the
do.
One. Oh, it is. Yeah.
Jesus.
But it's like, it's something that like you work really hard for and accomplish versus like type two is, or whatever the other one is. It's just something like that's fun, like all of a sudden. And it's like, this beer is flavor in your mouth. Like, it's flavor in your face. It's punching in the face. Like, it's not making you think about it. It's good as shit. It's kind of cheeseburgers versus steak or like, and I'm going to say,
or is it cheeseburger versus cheesecake? I don't know.
That's not a bad point because like, stouts, like imperial stouts, big stouts.
This
I would say like
beer.
Steak.
This
or,
is a dessert beer.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. It's, but it's good.
Yeah.
Like,
oh,
you
yeah.
can
it's
sip on this after your meal as your
for
aperitif.
Hours.
You could work on a little glass of this for an hour or two, easy.
Yeah.
It's a sipper.
Do you know who
it's
this is for?
Sweet.
This is for like the 35-year-old guy who's got a family. And he's like,
why'd you just look at me?
I don't know. A 39-year-old guy that doesn't have a family.
And he's like, I'm going to Christmas dinner, and I want to get fucked up.
Oh, it's you.
But
that guy.
But I don't want people to know, so I'm going to bring this nice beer.
You know
and
what?
I'm
going
to be like, oh, taste this and taste that. And all the while, you're like,
tell me I'm wrong.
You'd enjoy Christmas at my place then, bro.
Yeah. Tell me I'm wrong, but Christmas, I'm picturing bro. This with a really sharp cheddar or like a really sharp kind of dry crumbly cheese.
I'd be in.
Yeah, and the queen sitting in the corner.
No, fuck the queen.
I don't think she'd really enjoy that. She's pretty old.
And sharp to balance out the sweetness would be awesome.
Yeah, it's not a perfect beer by any means.
But it's so good.
I'm just thinking of what I can pair it with to work against the sweetness.
Well, right?
I think back, it's been a long time now, but we did an episode where we did, I forget what the beer was, but it was an Anchorage Brewing Company huge Imperial Stout.
Yeah.
And you had the same reaction. You didn't really like it because it was too sweet. But it was so good. I think that's actually where we messed up, Cam.
Well, I think between the two of the heavyweight champs, I like the Canadian Chumps. More.
Yeah, I like this one Champions. Better than the other one just because it has more chocolatey. It's a little more rounded.
And that's my memory because it's been a long time since I've had either of these. That was my memory, too, of both these beers. Is for me, it was Canadian heavyweight.
What's the alcohol on this one? The same?
They're exactly the same.
It's 13. Just a little different adjuncts, I think.
Yeah, it's exactly. It says it on the can.
It's,
but
it's not it's a perfect 13.8. Beer. Like, no. I would never say this is a perfect beer, but it's a beer that I would say, if I ever saw it at a tap list, I would get 100% of the time.
It's good to share with your friends in four ways, basically. Have a taster at the bar.
For the non-brewers out there, this is a pretty good representation of a hot scotchy when you're making a stout.
Yes, you're not wrong.
So if you want to know what brewers are talking about when they're talking about hot scotchies or brewer's breakfast or whatever, if you're making a stout and you took some of the wort and mixed it with a little bit of whiskey, this is almost what you'd have.
There you go.
Damn. Well, I need to make a hot scotchy ASAP.
It's a special treat.
Or should I just take some of my Russian Imperial Stout that's currently aging, put that in with some whiskey?
No. Or next time you're homebrewing, when you're doing your first runnings, take a little tiny little bit, like a 3 ounce kind of sample into a little glass. Add about 3 ounces of whiskey, 50-50, and bada boom.
Or just take my finished and put it in with the whiskey. And
nah, you gotta do it hot. I'm just gonna remind Warren here and the whole group and everybody listening.
Thanks, the whole group.
Because Warren and I both hate pumpkin beers.
Yeah.
And we're July. We're end of July.
Yes.
Pumpkin beers are coming. What?
Warren's always said we got to do a pumpkin beer.
Really?
Yeah.
You want to make a pumpkin beer?
And I'm going to remind the group that I think it would be a great idea. I'm not making any calls because I don't have that ability to make calls. But I think we should do a Pacific Beer Chat pumpkin beer. Where we can do some hot scotchies. And I would say maybe we push that pumpkin beer to the stoutier, portery.
P49 has got that stout.
Yeah. Like when I say it's not just a pumpkin and beer. It's not like an amber and pumpkin. It's like I think stout would do a little better with the pumpkin flavor itself.
Well, now you got me thinking. It's about time that we did another collaboration with a commercial brewery too,
right?
This might be something we can
make happen. It's the right time to start thinking about it.
Let's make the pumpkin beer we want to drink, Carnell.
Let's do it.
Well, Lady Brewing should be opening in a year or two. And if you know anything about where they're located, it's the Pumpkin Patch. Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
So they're already growing hops on, so everything's going to be.
They used their grain already on their lager.
Yeah, they did, and it was not a bad lager.
No, like, I had it. It was quite nice.
Yeah. So
again, shout out to my buddy Chad and his wife Lisa, who also wants to get me beer some reason.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, but I think we'll see some pumpkin shit out of there for sure.
Probably.
Yeah. Well, it's a pumpkin patch. Yeah, they're growing their own hops.
Right. Access to hops and pumpkins?
Yeah.
I think so.
No brainer. But yeah, I like where you're going with this, Carnell. I think that we need to approach a small local brewery. Mm-hmm. See if they want to do a collaboration with Pacific Beer Chat.
Silver Valley. Sorry.
He's a little busy right now, unfortunately. Yeah.
And specifically, we want to make a pumpkin beer that people that hate pumpkin beer will drink.
Yeah, exactly. It's not a pumpkin
spice.
We're going
to have to brainstorm on this a bit, I think. We're going to have to try and figure out.
Russian Imperial pumpkin.
I veto this whole discussion.
we'll have to give it some thought, but I like where you're going with it.
Nice. All right, boys. So I think That was a fun time.
It was.
We had three good beers there. We thinned out the cellar, and I actually appreciate it a lot because beyond thinning out the cellar, we actually got to some of the good stuff. And I also love enjoying the good stuff with you. But I will hand it over for the question of the day.
The ginger question of the day.
Yes.
All right, so I'm going to give Warren a break this time and actually give Carnell the first chance for hosting us. And thank you for hosting us and letting us drink all your delicious beer, bro.
Yeah, man.
What's your favorite of the night here?
Oof.
Right?
You know, this one's hard to call. I think
maybe let's just do a really quick recap then.
Yeah, on any given night, I think any of these three could have been the one.
Yeah,
they're all smashes out of the park.
The Moody and the heavyweight.
We had the Moody. We did basically
a Moody Russian Imperial Stout.
Yeah, and I had to, the Moody Ales was nice, and I think we got the good part of that batch for sure.
Definitely.
But I have to say, like, the heavyweight champ without the adjunct.
So you're saying the heavyweight champ.
The heavyweight champ, not the Canadian. Yeah. And I love the Canadian too, but I think by itself, it's such a great beer. And when you add the maple, it's not that you lose anything. It's just that you lose sort of track of all the cool flavors.
Gain sweetness.
Yeah, and a lot of times that's great. A lot of times I love the layered flavors. But for this one, I'm like, oof, the flavor I want is just the stout, the sweet stout flavor. So that's where I'm at.
Nice. Yeah. Well, Mike, I'm going to hand it to you next. I'm going to give Warren a break again.
Oh, jeez, you're being nice tonight. What the fuck?
Well, I know. He just likes saisons and shit. So.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I'm going to say a shout-out to Moody Ales. I do love the Russian Imperial Stout. But the runner-up on this is going to be the heavyweight, and the winner is the Canadian heavyweight for me. I went these huge, huge, like 13-plus Imperial Stouts. I love that big sweetness punch. I love that maple syrup. Even though I hate maple syrup by itself, in a beer, I love it. Just like pineapple in beer, I like, and I hate pineapple. So the Canadian heavyweight is just everything I like in a huge, punchy in the face, like no holds barred beer.
I got a question for you.
Yeah?
How many cans of those do you think you could drink in a row?
Does he have to work tomorrow?
Yeah, that's a good question.
No.
No? Probably six.
The answer is all of them.
That's sweet? You're going to have a hell of a splitting headache. Holy
oh,
shit.
Oh, fuck yeah. Didn't you drink? Say it's that's called why I water asked if I was working or not. Oh, wow. Come on now. Jesus.
Wow. You're brutal.
All right, Warren.
That's a lot of alcohol.
I know like these are your favorite style of beers. What's your fucking favorite of the night,
bro? Yeah, I'm going to have to go with the heavyweight. Not the Canadian heavyweight, but the heavyweight. Just because it's not as sweet. And, yeah.
Oh, thanks for the explanation. It was very vague.
And yeah. Well, right. Neither of the heavyweight and heavyweight are Warren style of beer.
No.
Nothing
they're
tried tonight
they're
was.
They're all pretty sweet. And so I'd go for the one that's not quite as sweet.
Yeah.
Well, I disagree. I'm going for the sweeter one. I like the Canadian heavyweight the best.
There you go.
And I don't know. The Moody was good, but I'm just... I don't know. Guess I got a hard-on for Boombox and Twin Sails.
Just a sweet right. guy.
Yeah,
just a sweet guy. Sweet guy.
Can we cut that?
Yeah.
Don't cut that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for tuning in, and I hope you enjoyed this episode. And thanks for hosting us.
Yeah, Carnell, thank you, again. Carnell.
Cheers, boys. It's so good to, you know, again, I used this in the last episode. But yeah, man, happiness, like good things, positive things, they grow when shared. So that's the whole idea here, right?
Absolutely.
Love it,
we
brother.
We missed Carnell. It's nice to see you back.
Cheers.
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 Thanks for tuning in to Pacific Beer Chat. We can be found on all podcast apps as well as at pacificbeerchat.com. If you find a podcast app we are missing on, let us know and we'll endeavor to fix that. Leave us a review on iTunes as it helps expose more people to the show. You can email us at feedback@pacificbeerchat.com. We can be found on all major social media apps at Pacific Beer Chat. Logo design was by Tim, the craft beer tourist. Audio editing done by Cam, known as Cam on Tap on Twitter. To play us out, here is a clip of the song Lothian by the band Conundrum, performed by Kevin Ems. Find them at conundrum-music.bandcamp.com. The song that plays us out is part of our intro.
I will.